Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. New friend, well, kind of new, a couple days, Bryce Crawford. How are you doing tonight, bro?
I'm doing super good, feeling great, blessed.
Awesome. Man, I'm super excited for what God's going to do tonight. Guys, I just want you to know, you know, this is not a normal podcast. This is not just for information. We're not on here just to talk and say things that we don't believe. I believe tonight, as we're sharing, there is going to be, and I prayed about this today, there's going to be a supernatural boldness that comes over you. There's going to be a desire to share your faith, to share Jesus, to share the word of God. And really, when I watch your stuff, Bryce, there's a jealousy, a holy jealousy, where I'm going, man, I want boldness like that. I want to reach people like that. And so I believe tonight, guys, this is not just going to be videos and interaction and teaching and sharing the word of God and sharing testimonies, but the power of the Holy Spirit is going to touch you right now where you're at. If you want boldness and you're like, man, I'm struggling to be bold, I want you to stay on this broadcast the entire time because I believe God has a word for you. I don't think you're here by accident. If you just jumped on, maybe you watch every week. This is a divine appointment with you for you. God wants to empower you to share your faith. He wants to empower you to be bold. You are called to be an evangelist. Okay, we're not the only evangelists here. I believe God wants to anoint you and call you. So there's my little intro. We're on episode 169 of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I am fired up. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm feeling the power of the Holy Spirit. I saw Bryce Crawford's videos, I don't know, a couple weeks ago on a friend of mine's page. And I'm like, I love this guy. I started watching his videos. I love your boldness, man. I've been sharing with my audience, there's this new generation rising up that's on fire for God. They're not religious. They don't care what religion has to say about them. They're unstoppable. They're making their own videos. They're posting their own content. They're reaching people on the streets. They're reaching people in the schools. And when I saw your video, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, this is one of the ones I've been telling you about that I'm raising up. This is one of these bold, fiery John the Baptist in this generation. And so, brother, I'm honored to have you on. I'm excited to have you on. I know people watch your YouTube, they watch your Instagram, your TikTok, but tonight we're going to talk about the man behind all that, you know, how you got saved, some of your testimony, some of your struggles, even witnessing. You make it look easy, but I know it's not easy. I know there's struggles. And so, hey man, thanks for being on. I would love maybe just opening. We could just jump into your testimony and kind of what God is doing in your life.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. It's so encouraging. I'm excited to be on. I'm living in Los Angeles right now, but I'm from Georgia. So I'm from the South. I'm from the Bible Belt, you know? So it's like everybody knows about Jesus. Everyone knows who he is, at least. It seems like it. I mean, I grew up in a small, kind of small country town. Grew up in church, and then as I started growing up in church, I started having this like heart head knowledge disconnect because I was learning this stuff about Jesus. And again, there's no like disrespect to anyone that poured into me when I was young or anything, but I just remember seeing a lot of like leaders around my city that would be telling us to do something, but then they weren't doing what they were telling me to do.
Yep.
And so there was just like this disconnect, and I was like, all right, I'm not really about it. And then I started going to a private Christian school. So I'm hearing about Jesus all the time. So I'm hearing about Jesus there. We stopped going to church at about middle school. And just like any family, families have struggles, and we started having struggles as well. And I started developing deep depression and anxiety, deep sadness, sometimes really bad depression. It was a battle. I could go scroll like on my Snapchat memories from like starting in the seventh grade.
Wow.
Where I'm just crying every night and no one knew. I was pretty popular at school, did all the sports. I was pretty popular, but every night, like I could scroll back and just see all these like crying and anxious and consumed and riddled and wouldn't sleep well at night. And so I was just riddled with this depression, anxiety. And as I got into high school, that's when it really got amplified. And so I never did drugs or alcohol, but I got addicted to pornography. And I got exploited at a young age when I was at the beach. Like some dude showed me like a video on the beach, and like that's how I got introduced, which is crazy if you think about it. You never forget whether pornography, drugs, alcohol, you never forget how you got introduced. You never forget. I got exploited on the beach by like some kids. They like showed me a video. And so I was addicted to that, and I was trying to fill my hole with that. Sometimes I would put other people down to make myself feel better. Sometimes I would try to people please people. And so I was dishing myself out to a few different things, and it never worked. And I just recently started opening up about this because the Holy Spirit convicted me that there's power in this. I started
Yes.
contemplating. I contemplated my life. I started doing it when I got into high school, because when you struggle with anything, it feels like an incurable disease. And a lot of people convince themselves and they think the only way to get rid of their struggles is to take their life. That's the biggest deception on the planet. And so I start believing this lie. I would contemplate my life. You know, never, I never self-harmed, never did anything like that, but I would really do it because I mean, it's so in my head. And so there was a night, December 25th, 2020. I'm like, this is it. It's Christmas. It's nighttime. I'm like, I'm gonna do it today. It was something I was so consumed by depression and anxiety and so letting my circumstances define who I was as a human being. And I was like, I'm gonna go get one last meal. So I go to Waffle House like any other Southern boy is going to Waffle House. And
And in your head, you're gonna take your life that night. You're just like, I'm taking my life.
yes, I wanted to. I had that desire in me, and it wasn't like, you know, there's still part of me that's like, I don't want to go through with this. But then, you know, the deception of your pain is it's the only way it's going away.
Wow.
So I was going there to eat, and I'm sitting down. It's packed. It's the only thing open on Christmas. And so I grabbed this random guy and I say, just sit down with me. We'll eat faster. He's like 30 something years old. Don't know who he is. He was just in there. So we sit down, and the second we sit down, he starts dumping his issues on me. And we've never met before. He's like, my wife doesn't like me. She's trying to divorce me. She's trying to take the kids. This is my last Christmas with the kids. And I'm thinking, bro, you have no idea why I'm here. I'm trying to run away from my issues.
Wow.
And I'm thinking in my head, now this guy's dumping his issues on me on top of my issues. And I was not having it. Like, this guy was just dumping, and I'm just kind of nodding my head. Yeah. And he looks at me and he goes, I love my wife, and she doesn't feel the same about me. And he said, there's no growth in a relationship if the love isn't mutual.
Wow.
And when he says this, I get a supernatural encounter with Jesus inside of Waffle House. And I knew it was Jesus because I'd never done drugs, I'd never done alcohol, couldn't blame it on a high, couldn't blame it on being drunk. And I wouldn't even know what that feeling was because I've never done it. And I get this supernatural encounter with Jesus. And it's almost like a film reel was painting in my brain of all the head knowledge I'd ever learned about Jesus. And finally, the 18 inches between my head and my heart finally connected. And I understand the weight of the gospel, but I understand it because Jesus is speaking it to me in Waffle House.
Wow.
And so I'm getting an encounter, and I start bawling my eyes out as I'm getting a supernatural encounter. The guy across the counter was freaking out because he thought he said something that offended me. But I couldn't have words. I was just bawling my eyes out, bawling my eyes out. So I got in my truck and I was like, God, if you're really real, I said, I'm having a hard time putting my trust in you because everything I put my trust in has let me down. I was like, God, if you're really real, I was like, take my depression and anxiety away. That night, got set free from porn, no more depression, no more anxiety since that night. And it's been 3 years. And the next day, I was making social media videos. Before then, I was making prank videos and, you know, just trying to do something that was popular. And I made a video and I was like, guys, I had this encounter. I've got to disappear for 2 weeks. I got to figure this thing out because this seems
Wow.
true. And so the rest of my Christmas break, I stayed in my room with my Bible and this book on basic doctrine about Jesus being 100% man, 100% God, the Trinity, the infallibility of Scripture. And I studied for 2 weeks. And then after 2 weeks, I just came out guns a-blazing and started teaching the word on the internet. And
Wow.
ever since that day, we've been going strong.
That's incredible, bro. I wanted to touch on you saying you were raised in church. I have kids, and I was also raised in church. At 16 years old, I decided I'm not going to go anymore. It's not real. And I know my parents, you know, they kind of cringe when I say this, But I was raised in church, but not raised in the power of the Holy Spirit, not raised in the reality of God. Like, you know, the Bible says it's one thing to hear about him, it's another thing to experience him. I think it was Job who said, my ears hear about him, but now my eyes have seen him. And so there's something about experiencing the presence of God, experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, having a touch from Jesus like you had in Waffle House. And that was the game changer for me at 19 of a self-proclaimed atheist who was raised in church my whole life. And this is my own testimony, but never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. And I look back, bro, and I say, what would it have taken for me to give everything for God before having to party and drink and sleep around and all that? And all it would have taken was one encounter with the Holy Spirit. All it took me was one encounter with the Holy Spirit. And all it would have taken me was one encounter with the Holy Spirit. And it's mind-blowing how you can be raised in church, but never experience or be in position or be in a church where the Holy Spirit's moving, where his power is moving. Do you feel like that's an issue in this generation where young people are raised up in church, but not in Christ? And for you, did you ever, before this moment, did you ever experience the power of the Holy Spirit? And I'm asking you this because one thing I pray over my daughters every night since they've been born, I have a 9-year-old, 7-year-old, 5-year-old, and 3-year-old. Every single night, without fail, I pray, Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit. God, I want them to encounter you. I want my house to be a place where the Holy Spirit is moving. I don't ever want my kids to grow up and say, man, we just didn't have that Holy Spirit in our lives, like the person of the Holy Spirit. Is that something that you felt like, yeah, my parents raised me in church, but I never had that experience with God until that Waffle House encounter?
Right. So I went to a Southern Baptist church. Nothing against any denominations, but we just never talked about the power of the Holy Spirit in that church. And so I didn't know anything about it. Then when I went to Christian school in middle school, I was taught that healing doesn't happen anymore, that after Pentecost and the apostles died, that the Holy Spirit doesn't move anymore like that. So after I had this encounter, that's what I believed. I still believe that because that's all I knew.
Yeah.
I didn't start, even though I had that encounter with the Holy Spirit, didn't believe in the power until I had a wild encounter about a year later in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I was in an Airbnb and this dude from Ecuador showed up with a translator at the house. And I opened the door and he's like, I'm looking for you. And I'm like, what the heck? And I'm not kidding. And this guy knew, he read my mail. He knew everything about my life. He knew everything I went through. I've never met this guy in my life. Wow. He literally brought me with him. And then he knew I had issues with my knees because I wrestled in high school and I had this thing called bursitis. And it's just like where like there's like a sack over your kneecap and okay. It would fill blood easily. So my knees would be swollen, hurt all the time. And they were swollen and in pain that night. And he knew about it and I had a broken finger and he prayed for my knees and my knees shrunk down to normal size and my finger stopped being purple. And it got fixed. It got healed by Jesus. And so I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So that's where I got introduced to the power of the Holy Spirit there. Like, all right, this has to be real. But yeah, it's an issue. I think the issue is people are scared to talk about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like they're scared to talk about him. And so they make him seem lesser than the Father and the Son. But really, really he's equal to, because that's the Trinity.
Yep.
But people are too afraid to talk about him. And for some reason, like one of the biggest things that I bet you get heat on, I get a lot of heat on it, is we lay hands on the sick.
Yeah.
And people, I remember I'm going to a city and I was like, hey, can you connect us to your church? So when we go, we have a place to send people we share Jesus to. And this person said, yeah, I'd be more than happy to, but I don't know if that's a good idea. And I was like, why isn't that? And they were like, they said, you know, you're controversial. It was like, you know, you're controversial. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And they're like, you know, you're controversial. You know, you lay hands on people and people get healed. And I was just like, well, I don't know what to say. I feel like I'm just being a Christian.
You're doing what Jesus did. God forbid you do what Jesus did. That's when you get in trouble. You know, you get in trouble for doing what Jesus did.
So I don't know. People get so scared, but I'm like, man, how much greater has my relationship with Jesus been when I actually invited the Holy Spirit in as a person? Because yes. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in, that's when your relationship starts to feel like religion.
Yeah.
Because you're not partnering with God himself.
Yeah.
When I partner with the Holy Spirit, I have a best friend. I look like some people think I talk to myself in the car. Like people, you know, when you drive and you see people singing in the car.
Yeah.
I'm not singing. I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. People think I'm singing. Like, we can talk to them everywhere we go. And so I think, like you said, there's a new generation where young people are being raised up. They're experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit and they're sharing it with other people. And now you have some generals like yourself that are sharing the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're entering this new wave where people
Yes.
are educated that the Holy Spirit wants to partner them and fill them. And it's so powerful and so good.
And it's so good because guys like you're not waiting for a pulpit. You know, you're not like when I got saved, there was no social media like it was now. There was no Reels, Shorts, there was no TikTok. And you had to really like either make a platform or make a pulpit in your own house, which is what I did in my living room. I started preaching and inviting people or get invited to churches. But now with the advent of social media, you guys aren't waiting around. And this is something I want to challenge all of the chat with because a lot of you in the chat are waiting for someone to invite you to preach. Waiting for someone to invite you on a podcast, waiting for someone to say, come share at my church. But you're actually just going out and like, hey, we're just gonna walk the streets and you call it Jesus in the streets and we're gonna share Jesus in the streets. We're gonna lay hands on the sick. We're gonna cast out demons. We're gonna preach the gospel and we're not waiting for permission. I wanna tell everybody listening right now, stop waiting for permission. You do not need to wait. Jesus already commissioned you. Jesus already called you. Jesus already anointed you. Every single one of us are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're not sharing, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. I know we blame God like, God, you haven't given me an open door. Your shoes are the open door. Put your shoes on, go outside. I made this joke, but it wasn't a joke. And I was sharing at this church and put the clip out and it went viral of me saying, some of us are praying to go to China, but we won't even share at Panda Express. And it's a joke, but in reality, you know, we are timid, we're afraid. And this is one thing we're gonna pray for at the end of the broadcast. We're gonna share some of your clips of you sharing Jesus. Some of them are actually funny and that's why I wanna show them and they're just awesome. But you make it very easy, you make it very relatable. And really, when I watch your videos, I'm going, everybody can do this. Everybody can share Jesus, and you've been called, you've been anointed. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be the helper. What is he going to help us do? Fulfill the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. Preach to all creatures, the Bible says. And so Jesus says, I have to go, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to be the helper, not the doer. Some of you are like, do it for me, Lord. No, no, no. He's not going to do it for you. He's going to help you. He's going to anoint you. He's going to empower you to share your faith. He's giving you the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be a witness. So we are called to be witnesses. And I believe, and we're going to pray for this again tonight, but I believe many of us are lacking that power encounter with the Holy Ghost, that anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you get sealed with the Holy Spirit. But there's another encounter we see in the book of Acts where you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is something God wants to do. It changes everything. It's what took Peter from denying Jesus to denying Jesus in front of a little girl. Like, Peter, what are you doing? A little girl, you're timid about that? And Peter denies him. And then the Holy Ghost comes upon him and Peter's preaching to the guys that killed Jesus. How is that? Did Peter go through 4 years of seminary we didn't see? No, he got the Holy Ghost. So you guys, that's what you need. You need to get God. You need to get the Holy Ghost. You need to get the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give you boldness. And so, man, I love that. Is that, how long was it from when you got saved to when you're like, man, I need to start sharing Jesus. I need to start reaching people. I'm not filming the pranks anymore. I'm going to share my faith and put that on social media. Was that quickly after, or did that take some time to develop?
Right after I got saved, I wanted to share Jesus so bad, but I didn't know anything. So I'd literally just run up to people. I would run up to people and I would say, hey, Jesus loves you. And then I would run away before they could say anything back to me because I didn't want to answer a question incorrect. I was like, Jesus loves me. And then I'd run away. And then, so I would do that for a long time. And then I would just have conversations with people who really got burdened. When I moved to LA, so I moved to LA September of 2022 and I came here, darkest city in America, some people say, but if Jesus is the light, then we should be shining in the darkest places. Why do we ask for somebody else to go there? I want to be the guy that goes there. So we went and moved here and that's where I started praying for the sick. I'm telling you, I laid hands on hundreds of people and no one got healed. I'd lay hands on 10 to 50 people to get healed. I would look like an idiot and I was sharing Jesus with people, but I was going, if I want to be a fool for anybody, I want to be a fool for Jesus.
Preach.
So you
want to
look like an idiot, look like Jesus is, look like a fool for him. And so I was laying hands on people. No one would get healed. But I was still persistently pursuing God and persistently pursuing this because I was like, man, I've seen videos of it and Jesus did it in the Bible. So it's got to happen. Praying, 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 praying. And then so September 2022, we started doing it. And then I saw my first healing. Let's see. I started in September 2022, December 2022. So what is that? 4 months later, I saw my first healing or something. I'm talking like it took forever. And you have no idea how hard I celebrated, gave God the glory when this dude got healed. I was so excited. But it was like medically proven he got healed. So that's what made me even more excited. He had like a complete ACL tear, angry atheist yelling at me in a restaurant. And I was like, dude, if God heals your ACL, he had surgery the next day. And I was like, if God heals your ACL, you don't need surgery. You got to give your life to Jesus. Prayed, nothing happened. He cussed me out and I walked out of the restaurant.
Wow.
I was just like, all right, you know, like this has happened one too many times. Like, I'm not going to let it discourage me. And then the next day I get a message on Instagram and he's like, bro, I'm freaking out. He's like, I woke up, walked downstairs, ate breakfast. And he's like, I realized I walked downstairs and I had no pain in my leg. And he had a complete tear. You know, most people partially tear their ACL. He's like, I had a complete tear. So he went to the hospital and he's like, I don't need surgery. My knee doesn't hurt anymore. And they're like, dude, you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, scan my knee. Like, I gotta see this thing. They scanned his knee and it was completely reattached. They had no idea what had happened.
Come on.
And I was so excited. I'm like, man, all right, we got to do this. So we just started going. Walmart, Venice Beach, Hollywood Boulevard. I loved Hollywood Boulevard because there's really crazy people at Hollywood Boulevard. And it challenged me. Restaurants, waiters and waitresses have to talk to you. And if they don't want to talk to you, they'll swap somebody out for you. So you're still going to have to talk to someone. If you're on an airplane, they have to sit in that seat. Every airplane's full nowadays. They can't leave next to you. What are they going to do? Land the plane early because you're sharing the gospel with someone? They're not gonna. Like, even I recently, I don't know if this is TMI, I started sharing the gospel in the bathroom. Wow. Like, as the urinal, if someone's standing next to me in the urinal, they have to listen to me. They're there. They can't leave. They can't leave. They have to be there, you know? So
imagine getting saved at the urinal. You're like, yeah, man, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I was trying to use the restroom, and this young guy was preaching to me right there.
There's breakthrough everywhere. You know, where are we going to do it? You know, people
are love bad. That. I love that. And I love your boldness. You know, you're not afraid to share. A lot of people in the chat are like, I would never do that. That's the point. And I'm not trying to be rude, but that's why you're still where you're at. You know, when I do these reaction videos, like I did one of a friend, Mapalo, and people were criticizing because he was in an airplane sharing his faith. And in the chat, people were like, he shouldn't be interrupting people, which, by the way, when you stand up in the airplane waiting to get off, no one could go anywhere. We're all just chilling, waiting. It's like 5 minutes of doing nothing. And I said, he wasn't inconveniencing people. They couldn't get off. They were all sitting there. But anyways, everybody was in the chat, not everybody, but some people were saying like, you shouldn't be doing that. And I was just thinking, I want you guys in the chat live right now that maybe you're critical, maybe you're going to watch some of these videos and be like, oh, he's inconveniencing people, or he shouldn't stop people to share the gospel. You know what else is inconvenient? Going to hell. Like, people going to hell is way more inconvenient than them having to sit for 3 minutes and hearing the gospel. Well, what if they get mad? Or what if they get saved? Like, I think we're saying the wrong things. Like, what if they get mad at me for sharing my faith? Well, what if they get saved, healed, and delivered, and God uses you and speaks through you like he said he would in the book of 2 Corinthians when he says, you are my ambassador. And then the second point I had was, if you're in the chat right now, maybe you're convicted, maybe you're mad, whatever, maybe you're manifesting a religious demon, who knows? But I want you just to think about, you're on your couch right now, right? Like, I'm sitting in a comfortable office and you're criticizing somebody that's sharing their faith, but you're doing it from a couch. You're doing it from a place of comfort. So unless you're out evangelizing, which many of us aren't, let's be honest, unless we're out sharing our faith, we need to be very careful that we're not criticizing people that are. Because my thing is like, I watch guys that share their faith, and sometimes I'm going, I probably wouldn't do it that way. But guess what? They're doing it, not me. So who am I to tell them how to do something I'm not doing? And I think a lot of us, we're just like, I wouldn't cast out demons that way. And I always tell people, well, how would you do it? And their answer is, they don't do it. You know, I would never pray for the sick that way. I'm like, oh, how do you pray for the sick? Show me a video. Like, crickets, silence. Oh, I wouldn't evangelize that way. Oh, how would you evangelize? Again, you don't evangelize. Netflix isn't evangelism. Sitting on TikTok all day isn't evangelism. So I really am like, I love to see the fire and the boldness. And I think that we really have to push back on this religious critical spirit. The spirit of religion doesn't share. Let me tell you guys why religious people don't share their faith, because there's nothing good to share about. When God's not moving, When you're not seeing healing, when you're not seeing deliverance, when God's power isn't present, when there's no holiness, no repentance, when you're just going on Sunday morning to be babysat by a pastor, there's nothing to share about. What are you going to share with people? Oh, I go to church on Sunday and do nothing for God and ignore him all week. The people that are sharing their faith, they have this vibrant, hungry, fiery prayer life, fiery relationship with God. Like, you're sharing because you have relationship with the person you're sharing about. And so for some of us, maybe we need to self-reflect tonight and say, maybe I'm not sharing my faith because I don't really know Jesus that well. And I don't really want to share about someone I don't know. But when you know someone, in my opinion, you're more likely to share. When you're excited about somebody, you're more likely to share. And a lot of people today share about everything but Jesus. Like, we all saw you guys post about your job. I mean, Bryce, we literally post our jobs, our food, our cats, our dogs. Like, you guys on your social media share everything but God. Let's have a social media revolution where we start sharing our faith, where everybody in the chat tonight starts posting videos about God, testimonies about God, Bible studies in the morning. Like, let your Facebook page be filled with fresh testimonies of the goodness of God. I really think we need to share. What was the hurdle for you, Bryce, to like, I just got to do it? Like, I'm tired of not sharing. I want to be bold. Was there just something you overcame one day and now it's easier for you? Or is it still a struggle to be bold and to share? Like, where are you at with that? Because I think a lot of people, I call it the chicken line, where it's like, I want to cross the chicken line and share my faith, but I'm having a hard time. Once you cross it, it's easier to cross it the next time. Do you still feel it's like a real struggle, or did you feel like there was a breakthrough at a point in your life where it's easy now to share in public?
There definitely was breakthrough. Because before, it's like, oh, what are they going to think of me? Oh, what if they get mad at me? It's like everything you're saying. And now, if someone's stuck in the elevator with me, they're hearing something. Come like on. They're hearing something. Or we were driving through a toll going from Alabama into Florida 2 days ago, and I just rolled down my window and I was like, Jesus loves you. Just as we pass the lady, because there's people going and people are dying. You know, people are sick. Their hearts are sick. And I'm gonna offend people's brain to get to their heart. You know, we're like, oh, I don't want to interrupt people's life. You said that, and I'm like, well, what did Jesus interrupted mine?
Come on, bro.
So like he's the great disruptor, and he's raising up disruptors to bring his kingdom in. I got filled with the Holy Spirit because in Acts it's like repent, water baptism, Holy Spirit, and then they're like, after the 3,000 get saved, they're like, what do we do? And Peter's like, pray for boldness, bro.
Come on.
Right? So I would ask God for boldness every day. I ask God to fill me and give me boldness. We need boldness from the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. You hit the nail on the head. He's the helper. He's going to help us. He will give us that holy boldness. You know, if you get that inclination in your heart to be like, I need to bless this guy with $5, or I'm going to go pray for that guy. There's no ounce in your body that could selfishly make you want to do that. Wow. Like, where do you think you could selfishly want to go pray for someone or bless someone with money? You can't. We're the most selfish people on the planet without Jesus.
Yep.
I remember I was super selfish before I had Jesus. So why would I think I would naturally want to do that for someone? And the big thing that got me was there's Christians that still live bound. And when Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, I started to think, okay, Jesus totally freed me from my depression, anxiety, porn addiction. And I say, okay, so if Jesus did that, there's Christians that walk around and say, hey, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace through faith, brother, but you know, I'm still going to struggle, and I'm going to keep on struggling until I die. And I'm like, dude, what? You know, if an inmate got released from jail and he's like, I'm free, but he has an ankle monitor on, he's not really free. They're tracking him.
Come on now.
That's how so many Christians live. They live bound. They live like they act like they're free, but they're really not. And so I was like, freedom is accessible anywhere, at all times, wherever I go, because I got the Holy Spirit in me. And if I had the cure to cancer and I didn't tell people the cure, millions of people would be mad at me. And we got something better than the cure to cancer. And so if you're like, I'm too afraid, I don't know how people are going to react, well, you don't know the breakthrough on the other side of your obedience. Like, you don't know what God's trying to do through you for them. If you have that inclination, go up to them. And there's three things that happen. You can sow, you can water, or you can be silent. And nowadays, silence isn't an option. And so we got to sow water, and God brings the increase. But a lot of people like try to be silent, and then they're like, oh, somebody else will do it. And it's like, I don't want to pass and their blood be on my hands. I can't do that anymore. I can't. I've done that one too many times. Can't do it. Don't want to do it. And now everywhere we go, we were leaving for a trip the other day, and we're going down in the elevator. Elevator stopped. Lady gets in at 6 a.m. She's all smiley, happy. I go, hey, Jesus loves you. She get immediate demeanor change. Oh, so angry. She's like, oh, I don't care. I do crystals. And I'm like, it's okay. Jesus loves you anyways. She just gets so angry. Like it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, it's not always going to be good, but we got to just, even if it's just a little something, it's an elevator. We're in there for 10 seconds, but I can tell her Jesus loves her. And then I just start sharing my story.
So
I'm getting my hair cut today. He has to cut my hair. He's hearing my testimony. He's hearing the gospel. He didn't really like it. He wasn't like angry about it, but he just like was totally turned off to it. But who cares if he gives me a bad haircut? Cause I share the gospel. It's hair. It's going to grow back. Like, I don't
care.
Come
on.
He's going to hear it. People got to hear it. We need Jesus.
I love it. And I love the way you share as well, because you're always looking for a common ground, which we're going to play some clips that I have ready here, and then we'll talk about it. But you're always looking for common ground. You're not sitting there being like, you're going to go to hell. God hates you. You need to repent right now. You know, you're bringing them into the gospel message. Nothing tastes good when it's shoved down your throat. You could have filet mignon from the best steakhouse, but if you shove it down my throat, it's not going to taste good. And when we're sharing and presenting the gospel, there's no purpose to go up to somebody and immediately start saying, you're going to go to hell, you're going to burn, you need to repent. Like, they don't understand what you're talking about. You need to introduce Jesus. You need to talk about Jesus. And sometimes God just wants us to plant seeds. And like you said, a lot of people get mad. A lot of people, even in your videos, I love how you leave some of the clips where people are like, get the F away from me. I don't want nothing to do with you. Leave me alone. Like, I saw one lady was manifesting a demon screaming at you. And you're like, hey, I tried to give her like some food and a Bible, and she was screaming at me. And like, one guy I saw in your video wouldn't take the Bible, but you say at the end, but I'm just planting seeds. Sometimes someone's planting, other people water, but it's God that brings the increase, like you said. And so I think a lot of us want to seal the deal. Like, I got to get this person to repeat the sinner's prayer. But that's not the way the disciples did it. We just share the gospel. We talk about Jesus. We share our faith. Of course, we call people to repent. Of course, we call people to give up everything. But we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to be led by God when sharing our faith. And so I want to play this clip of you. You were going and getting a pedicure. Was that your first time getting a pedicure?
Ever in my life.
Okay. And you're getting a pedicure. You know, I'm not here to judge you. I'm just saying you're out getting a pedicure, and you start. Now, you didn't get your nails painted a color or anything, y'all. So, you know, watch the clip. Yeah. But you're getting a pedicure, and then you start sharing with the girl doing your feet. And I want to show this clip because I want to show how easy it is and how easy you make it. And then I didn't show the whole clip. So all these full clips are on his YouTube channel, and it's in the description. I won't play the full clips because we don't have, you know, 30, 40 minutes, but I took out like 3 or 4 minutes from three different clips I want to show that you guys can watch here. And then we'll talk about them after, just to give you guys an idea of how easy it is to share your faith. And by the way, Bryce, you say your favorite's hibachi with yum yum sauce. That's my absolute favorite thing ever, is the yum yum sauce hibachi grill. Jared's in the chat. He knows where we like to go. I won't blow up our spot, but dude, I love the yum yum sauce. So anyways, I'm going to play the clip and then we'll talk about it after. Here we go.
My favorite type of food? I love hibachi. You like hibachi? Yeah. You like yum yum sauce? Yeah, that yum yum sauce is so good. What do you think about Jesus? Jesus? You don't know about Jesus?
No.
Oh, he's awesome. Jesus was born, and Jesus is God. And he lived a perfect life in this crazy world. He saw how crazy the world was and how wicked the world was because he was perfect. There had to be an eternal price, an eternal payment for punishment. If I were to hurt someone, I would go to jail because I hurt them. That's what justice is, you know? If I do something wrong, I have to get punished. And so because me and you are sinful, we deserve punishment. But Jesus said, I'm going to pay that punishment for you. One day, the Roman government arrested him, and they beat him, and they stripped him naked, and they crucified him. And when they nailed him to a cross, that was Jesus' payment for our sins. And so Jesus died on the cross to save the world. And then he rose from the dead 3 days later. And if we believe in Jesus, Jesus will save us. And we get to spend eternity with him in heaven. The Bible says, blessed are the feet of those who share the good news. So if we share with boldness and we go out to all the ends of the earth, you know, the Bible calls us to be a witness for Jesus. That means every believer is supposed to be a witness. So if we don't witness for Jesus, then what are we a witness for? Because we're going to witness for something. Our life's going to testify for what we believe in. Our actions are going to display what we truly believe in and where we put our fascination in our heart. The way we treat people, the fruit on our tree that we call life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, if it's not those things, then our life is going to bear fruit about something else, and our life is going to witness for something else. What are we witnessing about? What is our life testifying about ourselves? Does our life show that we believe in Jesus? Just food for thought. Stuff I've been chewing on lately. I hate feet. Like, I could not do this job. I'm glad that there's people in this world that can do this job. And these people are a huge blessing. Like, this literally reminds me of, like, Mary when she's anointing Jesus' feet with her tears and wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, you know? Whether they believe in Jesus or not, they're blessing Tanner and I's feet. They're immensely helping us and blessing us right now.
You were making fun of me. Look at me. I did better than you did.
This is not real. The dogs are barking right now. Thank you. Tickled. Someone asked me on Instagram, they said, what do I do if I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to talk to someone about Jesus, but I'm too afraid? I would respond to you with saying, you don't know if there's breakthrough for someone on the other side of your obedience or your yes. You don't know what God's trying to do through you. And so I'm not going to say, what I'm about to say isn't to like get you to not share Jesus, but if you don't tell them about Jesus, God will use someone else. But why would you want him to use someone else when he's asking you to do it? So you don't know if there's breakthrough for someone on the other side of your yes. You can't selfishly think, I'm going to go pray for someone or bless someone. You know, that's the inkling of the Holy Spirit. So listen to it. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no color, no guy. Everywhere you go is an opportunity to share the gospel. For all my ladies out there that are trying to be bold and share the gospel, share it at the mani and pedi store, the nail salon. You know, share it at restaurant, waiters and waitresses. You know, they have to talk to you. So why wouldn't you tell them about it if they have to?
I love that clip. That clip is so good. You're like, no color, no color. You end up praying for someone else in there that I guess overheard you. So tell us a little bit about that, what you're thinking as you're sharing, and how that whole thing went down.
Yeah, so we went into this pedicure because it was raining, and we went to the mall, and it was just like it was an odd day. It was raining, not normal weather in LA, so we went to get a pedicure because I was like, they have to sit there. And listen, and this lady could understand everything we're saying. Her English was a little off, but if we really believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, he can translate anything.
Come on.
Anything. Do it. He can do it. So we got to preach. We got to preach it. We got to bring it. I mean, and even if they can't understand it, there might be other people around that are hearing it. So just present the gospel to her. She was interested. She had never heard about Jesus before. Grew up in Vietnam. You know, didn't give her life to Jesus, but we shared the gospel. We planted the seed. So it's there. And coincidentally, the lady behind the counter was a devout Christian. She was the one that actually gave us a green light to film in there because we called beforehand. We told her what we did, and she's like, I'm a Christian. Boss said it was good. Come in. So we shared, and after we get done sharing the gospel, like another lady, another nail tech, I just looked over to her, and I asked her if she prayed. And she goes, no, I don't pray. I don't really know how to pray. And so I explained to her what prayer was and how to pray and just said, go home and try it tonight, and God will speak to you. Just said, give thanks and present your request to God, and he's going to respond. And it was powerful. And as we were leaving, this Armenian lady came up to us and was like, I'm so drawn to you. I feel like I have to talk to you. She's like, what do you guys do? We're like, we share Jesus. So all of us that were there, my videographer, myself, and my roommate, Tanner, we all shared our testimony. She cried every time, just getting touched by the Holy Spirit. And she was Christian, believing for her son's salvation. Prayed for her, had a word of knowledge about her knee being injured, and she freaked out and said, I tripped over my poodle last night and fell on my knee, and I had a bruised knee. Wow. So prayed for her knee. It was so cool. And then she was so moved. She tried to sow seed into us. Like, she kept trying to give us money, and we were like, oh my gosh, it was so, like, I'm still trying to learn how to receive. Like, I'm still trying to learn how to receive right now. So it was really tough. But she was like, please take this. Like, I'm so moved right now. Wow. And so she seeded into us, and it was powerful. But it was such a good time because people were in there. They were listening. They were loving it. People were laughing because we were the only men in there. And it was good. And people were getting touched. It was awesome.
That's amazing. And I love it, too, that, you know, you're out sharing. You're talking about God with people. And you never know how people are going to respond. A lot of people watching think, if they share their faith, people are going to respond negatively. They're going to be mad. The Bible says the harvest is ready. Like Jesus said, you guys say, which is what we all say, the people aren't ready to hear. The people aren't ready for the gospel. And Jesus says, but I say the harvest is ready. It's plentiful. And the problem isn't the harvest. The problem is the laborers are few. So actually the issue is we don't have enough Christians that are willing to put work in, that are willing to labor, and as you said, are willing to share Jesus. And you did it so respectfully. You planted the seed, and then God opened the door for you to talk to other people, for you to pray for other people. And I think if some of you in the chat start sharing your faith, you're going to realize, although the devil blinds the mind of unbelievers, the power and the light of Christ has so much strength to break shackles and chains right there, whether you're getting a pedicure, whether you're in a drive-thru, whether you're at Starbucks, whether you're at school, wherever you are, God is portable. You don't have to leave him at church. You don't have to only talk to him on Sunday. You can actually bring Jesus home with you. You can bring Jesus to the mall with you. You can bring him wherever you go and share the good news, lay hands on people, see the power of God move. And so I love that you guys were just seeing God moving, seeing revival, and it's fun. A lot of people, Bryce, especially your age. Now, I'm pretending I'm 20. Bryce is 20, by the way, guys. I got saved right before I was 20. I feel like an old man. I'm 32, but in the inside, I still feel like I'm 16. But guys, you know, at your age, think God is boring. That is what Gen Z thinks. They think God is boring. It's what my generation thought. God is boring. But religious American incorporated Christianity is boring. Biblical Book of Acts Christianity is the funnest thing you'll ever do. Like when he's sharing and even us watching, it's entertaining, it's exciting. Nobody's watching your video going, I'm bored. What are we gonna do next? Like it's exciting when you get in the move of God, when you get in the river, when the Holy Spirit starts moving, when the supernatural starts happening, when people start getting healed and delivered, it's actually exciting. And tonight Bryce is inviting you guys in. He's like, come on guys, share your faith, evangelize to people, plant those seeds. We're all called to be farmers in God's harvest. And let's stop making excuses and start making disciples. Let's start saying, like, I'm making way too many excuses. People actually do want to hear the gospel. People actually are ready. They've tried drinking, drugs, partying, sex, the American dream. They've tried all that. They're empty. They're broken. They're hurting. Jesus is the only thing that will fill the void. And so the Christian life is exciting. Once you guys start stepping out and doing it, man, you're going to have an amazing time and just wait to see God move and what God's going to do. So you ended up praying for, you said, so you talked to the other lady about prayer in your video, and then you said you ended up praying for one of the other workers. Is that the clip at the end of your full video where you're praying for another lady, or was she just there at the pedicure place?
She was just there.
She was just overhearing you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing. She got caught in the crossfire.
All the time. Happens all the time.
It's amazing. I love that. Now, what advice, I guess, would you give somebody that's like where you were, okay? You were in a place where you're like, you would run to people and say, Jesus loves you, but you were afraid of them asking you questions. I think a lot of people in the chat, they're held back because theologically they go, I don't know all the answers and people are going to ask me things. You don't have to have all the answers. Just share your testimony. What advice would you give somebody that's in your shoes a couple years ago where they want to share? We all want to share in here tonight. But I just feel like, oh, I don't know how to start the conversation. Like, how are you so, someone in the chat when we were playing the video said, how is he so smooth? And that's a good way to put it because you were like, what do you like to eat? And she's like, oh, I like Vietnamese food. And you're like, oh, I like hibachi. You know, Jesus died for you on a cross and you start just breaking down. I mean, you went from yum yum sauce to the blood of Jesus. Like, she didn't even have time to tell you, I don't want to hear it. It was like within 5 seconds. Give us some practical advice of what you're thinking about, what you're praying about, when you're trying to open up and share the gospel with somebody for the first time.
Yeah, when I first started, I started doing two things. I started praying for God to send me people, even though I realized, I'm like, God, send me people where it's inevitable for me to avoid the conversation. But number two, I would challenge myself to share with at least one person, because you got to get over the one. Like once you do it once, it like fires you up, because you're like, oh, that wasn't that bad. No matter the reaction, I was like, I don't care if people got mad at me or whatever. It was like once it was just one person, I was like, game over. Like Satan should have got me more in my head before I started. So if we could just get over one. And if you don't have the answers to a question, be honest. Don't try to make up an answer that you don't know is true. If you don't know something, just share what you know. And what you know is that Jesus is God, and he took on human form, and he died on the cross for all of humankind's sins, and he resurrected, defeated the grave, and now we can have freedom in him, and he can free us from himself. And you can share it very simple with people. If you're struggling, use your testimony as a leading leg. Like sometimes we'll go, like I remember one time this waitress had like acrylic nails, and she had pearls like glued to them. And I was like, oh, I like your nails. I was like, are those pearls? And she was like, yes. And I was like, you know, the pearl is the center of a clam, and Jesus thinks you're the apple of his eye. And she didn't like it. And she's like, oh, I don't believe in Jesus. And I was like, well, 3 years ago, I didn't. And then boom, boom, boom. You know, you can just like flow. And so there's going to be opportunities I've messed up. I've stuttered. I've done this. I've been actually for like the past 8 months been struggling with a stutter. But for some reason, like my girlfriend said this to me the other day. She goes, you know what? For someone who's a public speaker, you stutter all the time. But for some reason, when you preach, you just don't stutter.
Wow.
It's like, well, Moses, I was like, come on, what's
yeah, look at Moses had a stutter and God used him as a spokesperson.
God wants to use you. There's nothing physically that can hinder you, and you just got to do it. And if you're too afraid, the harsh truth is if you're too afraid to share your faith, then evangelism is about yourself and not them.
Wow. That's so good. So God,
you got to prioritize the soul because there's souls on the line right now.
That's so good. We're going to show another clip of you. I think she was like a psychic or something in Venice Beach area. It looked like Santa Monica area where you were. And you share for like maybe 10 minutes with her. We'll show just 3 or 4 minutes and then we'll talk about it after and just give you guys more examples of how he's sharing his faith. And I think I love what you said about the finding a common ground, a t-shirt, complimenting their hair, complimenting their nails. Usually if you compliment somebody, they're more open. They're like, you have any other compliments you want to give me? And they're more open to listen to you. But I think finding a common ground is so crucial in sharing your faith, building that relationship. Because again, guys, we're not just trying to be, you know, how could we get them saved? We're relating to people. People know if you're just trying to get them to pray a prayer, if you're just trying to use them for a video, people know if you truly love them or not. So I think showing that love for people is awesome. So let's watch this one and then we'll talk about it after. Here we go.
Are those crystals in your hand that those are?
These are some rocks. This is a magic rock, a crystal, if you will, that a friend of mine bestowed upon me. But these ones are actually given to me by a young indigenous person who stopped by earlier.
And when you grip those and you hold those, what do those do for you?
I would say that they channel the power.
Okay.
That's a part of this circuit.
Thanks for sharing all that. I'm so intrigued. When you were talking about the trauma of the world and things like that, I was like, yeah, I raised Christian, but then I got really angry at God because of I was having so many issues in my life. I grew up in the South. I'm from Georgia.
Well, I didn't grow up there, but I was in New Orleans.
Oh, come on.
6 years.
When I was in Georgia, I was in Waffle House.
All right.
And I had this encounter with Jesus.
Okay.
And so I remember I'd put my trust in so many different things and they had all let me down.
Right.
So I was like, man, Jesus, like if you're real and you show up in my life, just don't let me down like the rest of these things. And so I was just intrigued when you were saying like I bring in a little bit of Christianity and voodooism and Buddhism, because one of the first verses I read after I had this encounter was where Jesus says like, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it's like Jesus is this bridge to God and he's like, I'm the only way. And so when I read that, I'm like, man, like Jesus, I can have access to God and this source who would be the source of my life be God, and Jesus becomes this bridge for me. And so I was just interested in what you think about that, because I know you're like, oh, these rocks are a source for me, and even the solar energy, you're like, it's a source, I'm harnessing it in. And now you're reading the New Testament, which I love, like 1 Peter's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So like, what do you think about that when Jesus is like, I'm the way?
I mean, he knows he's the Son of God, and he knows he's been charged with this, you know, work, right?
Yeah.
So I think these ideas are all connected, and I think this particularly, this image, this symbol of the Marasa, this Veve is what it's called in voodoo, is that it repeats all throughout our different, you know, kind of global cultures.
One thing I really respect about you is you're like, Your curiosity has allowed you to dig into multiple things. You're like, I'm looking at the Bible, I'm looking at Buddhism, I'm looking at that. And I just remember like myself, when I was in a place, like I actually had no curiosity, I just had anger. And so I actually didn't look to anything. I was looking to the things that were in the world. And every time I would go to them for like my source of life, because I was so angry at God, but they would let me down.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where else to go. So I kept going back to them, even though they let me down. And so one thing I wanted to encourage you and comfort you with, Miss Jackie, is when Jesus gives the greatest commandment, he says, he's talking about righteousness, right? These Pharisees are like, they had to follow 613 laws to be righteous. And if they messed up one, they had to sacrifice an animal. And they go, what's the greatest commandment? They're trying to trip Jesus up. And he goes, love the Lord your God with all of your heart,
all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. And I love that passage because I was like, man, even though I thought I knew God because I was young, I wasn't loving him all the way. Yeah. I was loving him with maybe 5% of myself, and then I was trying to give a little bit of myself here and here and here. And I never got to experience the full freedom of Jesus because I was trying to give myself to multiple different things. And I just think it's so cool that you're reading the New Testament, because I think Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is going to surpass all understanding. And I really think he's going to bring some peace into your life on this quest. And
that clip is awesome. One, I want to say a couple things I love about the clip. One thing is, you know, she talks about how she's into like Buddhism and all that, all these other things. And you respond with, hey, I know you're into like Buddhism and Voodooism and all that. And instead of being like, that's all demonic and trash, you go and say, hey, there's a verse in the Bible where Jesus says he's the only way. So like, without even telling her, you're telling her, like, no, none of that is the way. Jesus is the way. And then when she's like, yeah, well, I do this and this, you go back to, hey, we have to be all in for Jesus. So you're, without being rude and turning her off and being negative and being like, you're going to hell, you're actually answering what she's struggling with. And you're telling her, no, what you're doing is wrong. Here's what the Bible says. But you're not telling her like, hey, you're wrong, but you're showing her how she's wrong in the scripture in a loving way. And then she's open to it. So it's really powerful how you did that. Tell us a little bit about that interaction. And there's a full video again, guys, on his channel. I just put a little edited 3-4 minute clip. You guys can find all his videos linked in the description, but tell us a little bit about that whole day and interaction that you had with her.
Yeah, it was so sweet. I mean, we start talking to her. So basically like what she was sitting in, she said she was sitting in some like, I don't know, it was like some voodoo, you know, blessing or something. And she like wanted us to come sit in it. She wanted us to receive this voodoo blessing and whatever. So she was like excited that we wanted to sit there, but whatever her demonic stuff she was doing wasn't going to, I walk in covenant with Jesus. It ain't getting on me. So I'm sitting with her. So we sit down and we start chatting and just wanted to hear her story, how she got into it. And she starts talking when she got into voodooism, when she moved to New Orleans. That's everywhere in New Orleans. So I'm like, okay, this makes sense. We're going to Mardi Gras a week from that day that we filmed that. So we were able to connect there and just wanted to love on her and show her like, hey, listen, like I get what you're saying, but everything you're saying is kind of contradicting itself. And Jesus, it really is the way. Like people need to know he's the only way. And she was reading the Bible. She had a whiteboard in the back that said, blessed are the feet of those who bring the good news. From the word. And so I'm like, okay, she's looking at the Bible. She's looking at the New Testament. I'm like, all right. And so we got to encourage her, like, as you're on this journey, I pray that God reveals to you that he's the only way.
Come on.
Because like you said, people need an encounter. And these people that are super deep into spirituality and like the spirit realm, like they're so sensitive to that stuff. They're so sensitive to the spirit because they're used to messing with the spirit realm. And so I'm actually so excited. Next time we go see her, because we're going to go see her. We're going to go visit Amir from that other video that we did, you know, where he's in the horns, and we're going to go visit him too. And so we're excited to see if there's an update. You know, what we go? And she's like, after that conversation, it really challenged me. And I was able to go because people can give an outward appearance how they're receiving it. And she seemed to receive it. She was nodding and going along with it, you know, processing it. And, you know, people may give an outward appearance that they're receiving it or whatever, but we're like secretly renewing their mind. Like when we're speaking that, you know, we're secretly doing it. We're planting those seeds. And so we got to plant those seeds. It was so fun.
That's good. And I wanted to say too, because someone in the chat was saying, is it okay to be more harsh with people? Everybody has a special calling, a special anointing, and an assignment. If God's speaking to you and saying, hey, be stronger with this person and be calmer with this person, be more loving with this person. Some people we save with patience and kindness. Others, snatching them out of the fire, even hating the garments that defile their flesh. So some people you need to be stronger with. Like for me, I was like, you know, a harsh atheist, but I actually needed someone to come up to me and say, look me in my eye and say, brother, you are going to go to hell if you keep living this way. You are not, you know, you are not on the right road. Like I needed it harsh. If you came in and said, Jesus loves me, I would have been like, I love me. I don't care. But other people, they need to hear about the love of God and the kindness of God. And the Bible says the kindness of God brings men to repentance. So I wouldn't say like there's guys on YouTube that me and you are friends with that are very, you know, a lot harsher. And I say it in a way of they're just way more direct, way more like, this is what it is. You need to repent. And that's not wrong. That's the style that God's given them. That's the style they do it. But it doesn't have to be everybody's style. And then your style doesn't have to be everybody's style. I think we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to flow in the Holy Spirit. You know, I go into churches and my assignment is to wake up sleeping American churches. So I go in there and I'm preaching hard. I'm preaching a hard, strong message. But some people try to copy my assignment and they're just not loving and it just feels bad because that's not their assignment. So for some of us, our assignment is to encourage the body. Others of us, our assignment is to rebuke the body. Others of us, our assignment is to bring healing to the body. Some, it's to bring deliverance to the body. Everybody has a different calling. We're all different body parts. So when you guys watch Bryce's videos or other people's videos, there's not just one right way that you have to do it. It's just God has given Bryce a special anointing and a special calling to reach the people God has called Bryce to reach. And as you mature in your faith, those of you in the chat, you'll realize there's not only one method. Paul said, I was all things to all men. So I talk some way to certain people and other ways to certain people. When I first got saved, Bryce, I used to think if everybody wasn't screaming and shouting and radical preaching like me, I would be like, oh, that pastor's soft. They're not saved. They're not. And then God taught me when I, you know, matured after a few months, like Isaiah, you're just one part of the body. You're not the only part. You're not the only right part. But as you grow in your faith, chat, you'll realize everybody has a different body part. So let's not compare different ministers and evangelists. Let's just go, hey, this is the beauty of the diversity of Christ. And maybe he does it a way I wouldn't do it. Or maybe I do it a way he probably wouldn't do it. But we're both different body parts and there's beauty in the diversity and we need each other. Like the hand doesn't say to the eye, I don't need you. The eye doesn't say to the foot, I don't need you. We all need each other. And I wanted to ask you this and then I'll play the last clip here. I want to talk about dealing with discouragement or rejection because you said something earlier I didn't stop you on, but you said, hey, I prayed for like 100+ people and until I finally saw someone get healed. And a lot of us, and myself included, we would pray for just 5 or 6 and then get discouraged and go, God doesn't heal because I prayed for 5 or 6 people and not everybody got healed. You prayed for over 100 people, something like that, before someone got healed. You share your faith with people in your own videos and people don't receive it. They cuss you out. They reject you. They spit on you. All of that. You've been through all of that. Talk to us about dealing with discouragement because it's going to happen if you're sharing your faith.
Hey, yeah, it's going to happen. Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. First bit of comfort. There was in the interaction in Acts 7 when Stephen's getting stoned for one of the most incredible gospel presentations ever. It's the only time Jesus is mentioned standing at the right hand of God. He's standing off the throne. Mm. It says Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus standing. And when I read that scripture, I imagine that as Jesus clapping, being like, that's my son. I love him. I'm so proud of him. So I go, okay, if Stephen is getting stoned to death, and he looks up and he sees Jesus standing off the throne, clapping, going, that's my son. I'm proud of him. That I have to envision that every time I interact with someone, not in a sense of I'm like prideful, but like if they hate me, I know that God's proud of me.
Wow.
So when we started sharing, it's going to come. People are going to get mad. But if I don't, I started finding myself walking in a fence when I wasn't spending time with Jesus. Wow. So then I had to start my day off with Jesus because a lot of us, our alarm's on our phone. We pick up our phone, we cut off our alarm, and then we start scrolling on social media. And there could be 1,000 good comments and the one bad comment is louder than 1,000 good. And so because we started off our day with what the world says about us instead of what the word says about us, then we walk in a fence the rest of the day. But I started putting my Bible over my phone so that when my alarm went off, I cut it off. And if I put my Bible aside for some Instagram, then I was really setting aside God for Instagram, got convicted. So I started spending time with Jesus first. And when I'd start my day with Jesus and my whole day, my eyes were on him. And when all of this, like when people in sin and, you know, whatever sin was around me or thing, I'm looking at him. So it's just not affecting me. It's just rolling off. And I'm like, I'm walking in boldness and power. It's going to happen. People are going to get angry. People are going to manifest demons. People are going to cry. People are going to get healed. Some people aren't. But a lot of you guys believe more than you think. Because if you're still praying, even though you don't feel God, you still have faith. Like I found myself, I'm like, okay, if I'm still praying for the sick, even though I'm not seeing people and I don't feel like I believe, but I'm still stepping out and praying for people, I actually believe more than I think I do. And God really honors faith. And so whenever you're in that wilderness season or you're beating yourself up like, oh, I don't feel God, I'm not giving it enough effort, but you're still praying and you're still crying out to God, that's incredible. Or when you read the Bible and you feel like, oh man, I'm not like, I feel like I can't remember anything. I'm reading the Bible, and every time I read it, I feel like I can't remember anything. God's writing it on the tablet of your heart. And watch the word manifest in your life, even though you don't think you can remember it for yourself. So there's going to be times where you don't feel it, and feelings are good servants. They're not good masters. And if you base your whole life off of feelings, then you're going to be led totally astray. And so we have to stand firm to the truth. And Jesus calls every believer to be a witness. And Jesus has called you to be a witness. And so whether you're faithful to thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people, or you're faithful to two people, you know, God's still going to use you. And a soul, you know, heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. And so, man, if your whole life is devoted to the same person, and then on their deathbed, they finally receive Jesus, it was worth it. If you spend millions of dollars for one soul, it's worth it. If you know it's worth it, it's worth it, it's worth it. Are you willing to count the cost for a soul?
So good.
Got to be willing.
So good. I was thinking of the story of Jonah when you were talking about that, where Jonah rebukes a city, says God's going to destroy the city. They repent, they fast, even the animals fast, they cry out, and God doesn't destroy the city. Jonah's mad that God doesn't destroy the city. He's sitting under a bush, a tree, let's just say. It shrivels up and dies, and Jonah's mad that the tree died. And God said, Jonah, you're mad that the tree died, that you're no longer comfortable, but you weren't mad that I was going to destroy an entire city that repented. So in other words, like, you're fine with me destroying the city. You weren't mad that I was going to destroy the city. In fact, you're mad that I didn't destroy the city, yet you're mad that I took away your comfort. And a lot of us, we're like Jonah. We're more in love with our comfort than we are seeing people saved. Like, I have to give up my comfort, my tree, my plant that I'm hiding under. I have to take the basket off my head, because the Bible says, would you cover a lamp with a basket? Would you cover your light with a basket? No, no one would do that. So we are the light of the world. Let our works shine before men. Let our light shine before men so they may glorify God. They may glorify our Father in heaven. It doesn't say let God's works shine before men. It says let our works shine before men so they can glorify our Father. And a lot of us, we're in love with our comfort zone, and we have to actually choose when we evangelize, do I love my comfort zone or do I love souls saved more? Because oftentimes you can't have your comfort zone and have people getting saved. You have to forfeit your comfort. You have to give up your comfort. And that's why Paul said, I die daily. It's no longer I that live. I don't have an opinion. I don't have a choice. I can't be offended. When has a dead guy in a casket ever gotten offended at a funeral? Never. You're dead. You're not allowed to be offended. You're not allowed to be mad. You're not allowed to be angry. You're not allowed to be bitter. You're not allowed to keep your mouth shut. We are Christians. We are called. We are anointed. We are assigned by God to step out of the boat, get out of the kiddie pool of Christianity. Yes, some of you in the chat, it's time to take off the floaties, get out of the kiddie pool, and go deep with God and let God use you in this generation. There are people's lives depending on your yes. There are people's lives on the other side of your obedience. And like you said earlier, I don't want no one's blood on my hands. Ezekiel said, if you see the enemy coming and you're the watchman on the wall and you don't sound the alarm, you don't warn people, if those people die, your blood is on their hands. And now in the New Testament reality, if our friends and family, let's just say that, forget about the people at Venice Beach and Waffle House and all that, we need to reach those people. Let's just pretend it's just our family though. If our friends and family right now in the chat, you have friends and family that are, if they died right now, they would go to hell. Like, why would we not just text them, hey, I would love to talk to you? Why would we not just call them and say, hey, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Hey, I want to share my faith with you. Hey, I'll pay for you to get some sushi. Hey, I'll take you to Hibachi Grill and pay for you. Hey, I'll take you to Jamba Juice, Starbucks and pay for you. And then you give them 15, 20 minutes and say, look, you're my cousin. I love you. I owe you this. I have to tell you this. If you passed away and died and went to hell, I would never forgive myself. And you let your cousin know what God has done in your life, that God loves them, God cares about them. You tell your cousin, hey, if you ever need anything, you can text me, you can call me. I'll send you a scripture in the middle of the night. I told a guy that yesterday. Hey, if you ever need anything in the middle of the night, it doesn't matter. I'm here for you. Like, if every one of us did that to our friends and family and presented the gospel to them, we would see revival. We'd see reformation. And I think what you said is so key. We have to be willing to get, you know, slapped in the face, spit on, rejected, humiliated, discouraged. Jesus went through it, but he says, fear not, for I've overcome the world. And this is all part of the process, guys. And God wants to use you. And we're going to pray. I'm going to show one more clip, and then we're going to pray for the audience, the chat, those watching live and on the replay. We don't forget about the replay people as well. You should have been here live Tuesday night, but it's okay. At least you're listening. We're going to pray for you too. Prayer still works, even if it's recorded. And let's play this last clip of you witnessing to Spider-Man. Yeah, he's witnessing to Spider-Man. Here we go.
How long have you been doing this?
Doing what?
Like out here as Spider-Man. I've been doing it for like a couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? And have you been enjoying it?
Huh?
Have you enjoyed it?
Enjoyed it. Like, of course, that's why I do.
Yeah? Yeah?
It's fun.
When's the last time someone's come up to you randomly in public and been like, can I pray for you? Or has that even ever happened?
Pray for me?
Yeah. No one's ever prayed for you.
No.
Well, could I pray for you?
Sure, do it.
Okay, can I put my hand on your chest to pray?
Sure.
Thank you.
Just getting kind of romantic, but it's kind of like, no romantic.
Oh, this isn't romantic.
Spiritual therapy.
Jesus just loves you, man. Cares about you.
I'm getting baptized. My heart is getting baptized.
Right, Jesus, now. We thank you. Pray for full healing in his heart right now. In Jesus' name. Brand new heart. Any heart issues, leave. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I've never prayed for Spider-Man before.
Transformed into a converted Spider-Man.
A converted Spider-Man?
Are you still Mormon?
Yes. I am bad Mormon.
Bad Mormon? What does that mean?
Bad Mormon.
Like, he doesn't practice Mormonism.
Yeah, he knows.
Well, okay. It makes sense that you wouldn't practice Mormonism because it's a cult. And it doesn't make sense.
What Christianity are you from, bro?
No, we're Christians. So Mormonism says that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers.
No, I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, that's Mormonism. Mormonism says Jesus and Satan are brothers.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
All yeah, right.
Have you ever read the Bible? And have you ever read the Book of Mormon? The religion Mormonism tells you that they work together. But when you actually read them both, they fully contradict each other.
Can we pray that you feel the presence of God right now?
Okay.
Can we do that?
Pray. Let's pray.
Jesus, right now, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to Spider-Man. In Jesus' name, touch him. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you feel anything?
Yeah.
You did?
Like heavy energy came out.
Heavy energy came out.
Yeah.
That was the presence of God. That was Jesus Christ.
Oh, well, I feel it. I feel God right now.
It's because he loves you. Let me ask you a question. This is what Jesus did for you, okay? Your backpack. Imagine your backpack is full of everything wrong you've ever done in your life. How heavy would that backpack be?
It's gonna be very lighter than the one I'm carrying right now.
Lighter than the one you're carrying.
I never did anything bad to anyone that I know.
But no, not bad to anyone, just wrong in general.
Wrong in general, no, I don't do wrong.
But there's gonna be lying.
Do good.
Lying.
No, I don't lie. Stealing.
Nothing.
Nothing. No bad. Nothing, absolutely. I'm like clean.
There's gonna be something in there though.
Nothing in there.
Nothing.
Bro. Nothing.
Really? Okay, well, the Bible says that all human beings have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we deserve death. But Jesus came from heaven, because he's God, and he died on a cross and paid the punishment for you.
I think I am on like the spiritual practice level where I'm on the guru level. So
you're Spider-Man's a spiritual guru.
Spiritual, yeah. I'm not a human anymore.
You're not human?
No.
You're not?
I'm not a human anymore. I have no needs like humans have. Oh, they want to eat. They want to poop, they want to do sex, they want to do this, they want to cheat people.
You don't
they
poop.
They want to make money.
You said you don't poop.
In days, in weeks.
In weeks. It takes you weeks to poop.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Spider-Man who doesn't poop in 3 weeks. I have a gift for you.
Okay.
I have a gift. Yeah. Close your eyes. Don't peek.
Sure.
Don't peek. You ready?
Yeah. I know.
Boom. Check that out.
Right? There you go.
What the heck is that?
What is that?
Yeah, Bible. Wow.
Amen. And look, check this out. Look what it says right here. It's going to blow your socks off right here.
Socks.
For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So your sins are drowning you, and your sins will kill you. The Bible says sin is fun for a season, but in the end it leads to death. But Jesus died and resurrected and defeated death so that you could have freedom and life in him. Because here's the reality.
He's amazing. He really stands up for people's sin and all of the sins. And then thanks for acknowledging and for spreading this light.
That's for you.
I'll just carry that in my backpack now.
I love that clip. Praying for Spider-Man. I added that because I wanted to get a clip of you praying for someone. But then also, some people, they're heckling or they're not paying attention or they're high or they're drunk. And it's hard to him saying he doesn't use the restroom. Obviously, it's kind of all over the place. But nonetheless, the seed is planted. We're spreading seed. We're throwing seed out. Tell us a little bit about this encounter. I only did a couple minutes of the clip, but what was going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, he was just in a Spider-Man costume out there working, and we stopped him because he saw us filming and heard us over talking to somebody else about Jesus, and so he came over and he was just like, sitting there. I guess it was his buddy that we were talking to, and then his buddy walked away because he was kind of angry, but he was still sitting there. So we just started talking to him. He was smoking a cigarette when we talked to him. Spider-Man smoking a cigarette. And so we just started talking to him and sharing him. And, you know, people get cut off. People don't want to hear it, or people try to leave, or this, this, and that. But, like, we just kept pressing on. And just like, hey, what would happen if you felt God right now? Okay, let's pray for the Holy Spirit to touch you. Did you feel? He's like, I feel God right now. I feel something. I feel tingly. I feel, okay, great. Like, let's go off this. Now you know God's real, and he sees you, and he loves you, and giving him a Bible and sowing seed and showing him the word. Like, God so loved you that he gave his only son. So we just got to share with him. We still see him sometimes when we go.
I love that.
I don't know if he remembers us. He smelled like alcohol, so I assume he was drunk. Don't want to pin that on him, though, but he smelled like alcohol when we were talking to him. But like a lot of these guys that we talk to in LA are actually locals. So we end up seeing them a lot. Like one guy we talked to a while back, like our first street video ever, we did a street interview. Like he sees us all the time and he hollers at us. And he says that Jesus was a Muslim and he thinks he's a Muslim, but he doesn't know what he really believes in. And so we get to see these guys and it's fun. But, you know, sowing seed and that. And, you know, a lot of people think it's a fail when they don't receive Jesus on the spot.
Wow.
But that video right there, we don't know how many people got saved, encountered, delivered, set free, encouraged to share their faith through that video. So a lot of people think, oh, Bryce took a fail. Bryce took an L. But how many more people got shared and encouraged? And because Paul writes in Philippians that a lot more people got charged up to share the gospel when they realized that Paul was in prison.
Come on.
Pain and suffering actually encouraged more believers to share their faith. And so I'm not getting thrown in jail. Nothing like that's happening, but people are turning us down. We're not seeing people get saved or whatever, but people are getting encountered, and that's the point.
And also, bro, you're encouraging thousands and thousands. I think the video review I did about your video was like at 40 something thousand views. I know Nick Jones did a video. You're posting videos that are getting tons of views. You're encouraging people. What we're doing tonight, we're encouraging people to share their faith, to share the gospel, and somebody might get saved watching you share the gospel to Spider-Man, you know? And like I said earlier, I quoted the scripture wrong, but it's let your light shine before men. I couldn't think of it. Let your light shine before men so they may see your works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So by posting these things online, you're letting your light shine, you're showing people what God is doing, and then they're glorifying God, which is amazing. And that's something we want all of you to do. And yes, this is live. I don't know why you guys keep asking over and over. I'm not trying to be rude, but you guys keep saying, is this live? It literally says live right above, but it's okay. We are encouraging all of you guys to get out and share your faith. The harvest is plentiful. God is moving. I know me and Bryce at some point in the future are going to do, you know, a video together in person. Maybe he comes down here and we do something, evangelism or something. We're going to do something together. But man, God is moving in this generation. There is hope for Gen Z. I'm so grateful, Bryce, you're an answer to prayer for so many of us have been praying, God, raise up young warriors, raise up revivalists, raise up Gen Z, and God is doing his work. There will never be a generation that rises up where God doesn't have spokespeople. You're one of those spokespeople in this generation. I believe you're barely scratching the surface for what God has for you, for what God's going to do. I'm just praying that God launches you into this ministry like never before, and this is just the beginning of what God has. And so I'm excited for your future, and I would love for you, before we end this segment of the stream, just to pray for those in the chat. Type one if you're in the chat and you want that supernatural boldness. If you're in the chat right now and you're like, I want you guys to pray for me. I want to be bold for God. I want to be radical for God. We are going to pray for you tonight that God would give you boldness. And I'm encouraged, bro. Like, I'm thinking, man, I want to go to the restaurant right now and share with somebody. I want to talk to someone about God. It's so fun just watching you share. It makes me encouraged. Like, man, it's so fun. You know, yesterday I had two divine appointments. I got to talk to a guy for an hour on the phone, and it was about a whole different topic, and we ended up talking for the entire hour about God. It was supposed to be like a call about something else. We talked about God. I got to pray with him. And then another guy who was coming over to look at something at my house, I ended up talking to him about God for 3 hours yesterday. He was crying. And I was like, man, it's so fun just sharing your faith, talking to people about God, witnessing to people, reaching people wherever you're at. I've been playing a lot of pickleball. And so I've been sharing and witnessing at the pickleball courts, talking about God, sharing with some of the people I've been playing with. Wherever we go, guys, we can make disciples. We can share the gospel. People are ready. So without further ado, Bryce, if you want to feel led, any closing thoughts you have, and then feel led to just pray for us, and we're just going to receive that boldness.
We're just going to pray. And as we're praying, I'm just like sensing in my spirit, just some healing that's going to break out. We're just going to pray just any pain or anything in my body, anything in your bodies, I'm gonna just ask the Holy Spirit, anything I'm feeling, I'm just gonna pray for healing. And we're just gonna pray and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, give you boldness. It's gonna be so good. So Jesus, right now, we just pray for every eye that's watching this stream live. We'll watch it. We pray for every ear that's listening or will listen to the stream. God, right now, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to fill every single person watching this live and or listening in Jesus' name. God, will your Holy Spirit fill them with power? God, will you cloak them in your power and boldness? May boldness fill everyone watching this in Jesus' name. May your tangible presence be felt by every person watching or listening right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for healing. We thank you for pain in the back to be healed in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for eyesight in the right eye to be restored in Jesus' name. We thank you for 20/20 vision in the right eye. God, we just thank you for ligaments, brand new ligaments and tendons in the knees in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that arthritis in the hands and knees be restored, yes, in Jesus' name. God, we just thank you for the flu. We ask for the flu to be gone in Jesus' name. God, we just thank you right now for full healing in the body. God, we just ask right now for any stutters to leave in Jesus' name. God, we pray for anyone suffering. I feel like someone has had a stroke and they're having pain in their body. God, just any pain from a stroke be gone in Jesus' name. God, we pray for nightmares and insomnia to go away right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that you are a God of rest and that you love rest. Restore rest and sleep. In Jesus' mighty name, God, we thank you for any pain in the body to be fully restored. God, I just thank you for 20/20 vision. We thank you for brand new tendons and muscles. God, we thank you for feet. We thank you for legs being restored in Jesus' mighty name. God, I thank you for every believer watching this. God, I pray right now that you will burden every person listening or watching to this with three close friends, family members, and people they need to share the gospel with. God, will you just fill them with a holy boldness to reach their family first? God, will you just burden these people to not chase the pulpit? God, don't let them chase the pulpit. Don't let them chase the lights. They're poison. God, let them chase you. And as they're chasing you, God, will you just burden them with the hearts of people in America, in their hometown, in their backyard, on their college campus, at the gym, at work, everywhere they go. We need Jesus in the streets. God, we thank you that you're not a God just for Sunday. God, we love you. We thank you for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you partner with us. Thank you for boldness. Thank you for full healing in the body. And we just pray an impartation of the gifts of the Spirit and an impartation of healing for everyone that wants to walk in boldness in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes. Amen. Yes. And Lord, we pray. I want to pray one last thing. The Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And that word fear actually doesn't mean like I'm afraid of something. It means timidity. It means God has not made you timid. A lot of us are timid to share our faith. That spirit did not come from God. So let's pray that God would break. Again, the spirit of fear is actually the spirit of timidity. And so, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you'd break the spirit of timidity, that we will not be timid in Jesus' name, that we are going to be bold as lions. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. God, as we witness, as we share, as we evangelize, as we lay hands on the sick, as we cast out demons, as we proclaim the kingdom of God is here now, I pray, Lord, give us boldness in our mouth, God. Remind us of what you spoke. In Matthew 10, you told the disciples, when you're standing before the courts, I'll give you the words. I'll bring them to remembrance. I pray, God, as we start speaking to friends and family, and I feel this, God is going to give some of you so much revelation. When you're sharing the gospel with friends and family, you're actually going to be shocked, going, I didn't even know this. What am I even saying? I'm sharing scriptures I've never even read before. God is speaking right out of me. Guys, you open up your mouth and God will fill your mouth. God will turn your mouth into a trumpet. You'll blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. God, I pray that you would turn their lips into a trumpet. God, that as they share their faith with unsaved friends and family, you'll give them words that are sharp, that are powerful, that are effective. You'll give them words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy, that you will prophesy in Jesus' name. I just pray, Holy Spirit, give us just gifts as Bryce just prayed. God, fill us with spiritual gifts to do this work. We need the spiritual gifts. We need it. We can't do it without it. It's so much easier with spiritual gifts. So I pray, Lord, right now, and some of you, I just saw an image of a zipper over your lips, like your lips are locked shut. They're zipped shut. And I pray God would break that, that God would open up your lips, that God would break the chains that are around your mouth right now. I pray every shackle, every chain, every hindrance would be broken in Jesus' name. Satan, loose them now. Satan, you have no power. You've been defeated. You have no authority. You will not silence me in Jesus' name, but I will be bold. I want you guys to type that in the chat. I will be bold. I'm done being quiet. I'm done being silent. I am not a grasshopper. The same spirit that raised Christ has quickened my mortal body. I've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. I have the power of God living inside of me right now. And I just pray boldness rise up. Boldness rise up. Fire of God. Holy Ghost fire from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. God, baptize them in fire. I pray the same encounter Bryce had at Waffle House, God, I had in 2011, God. I pray that same encounter, you would just reach people right now, God. You would speak to them right now. I pray encounter people tonight, Lord. Encounter people right now. Now's the day of salvation. You know what? You're like, I'll just get saved next year, tomorrow. You don't have time. This might be the last sermon you ever hear. You don't have time to wait. Now's the day of salvation. Call upon God, repent of your sins, lay everything down to him, pick up your cross and follow Jesus today. Choose now. I pray, Holy Spirit, just bring conviction, bring boldness and bring fire over everybody watching this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bryce, I want to thank you, bro. I know you have a flight at like 3 or 4 in the morning. It's already getting late. I thank you so much. I pray this is the first of many collabs we do. I would love to do more stuff with you, get together and meet you, man. I love your spirit. I love what God is doing in your life. Where else can people, if they want to find your ministry, if they want to sow into your ministry? Look, guys, I rarely say this. You know, I've done 170 episodes now. This is episode 169, so almost 170. I'm going to sow into Bryce financially regardless. I know he's like, I have a problem receiving. We're going to break that problem. We're going to sow into him. He's a young evangelist. I know it's not easy being a young evangelist living in Southern California. Is there anywhere they can go if they want to sow into your ministry, if they want to get the merch to support you? I know you have like Jesus in the Streets merch and all that. Just let him know. My mods, by the way, have been posting your YouTube channel the entire stream, so they know your YouTube channel, but where else can they get connected with Bryce Crawford?
Yeah, so we have jesusinthestreet.com. We have awesome shirts, Jesus shirts, and prophetic shirts, prayer shirts that you could buy, support, that you could wear, rock. If you're needing a leading leg to go in the street, wear a shirt. It'll start a conversation. That's people good. Always stare at shirts all the time. It's awesome. If you want to sew into us, we have a one-time or monthly tax-deductible thing. It's in the link of my bio on Instagram, or if you go to any YouTube video and you click the description, you'll see merch, and then it says, if you want to sow in our ministry, it's an EquipNet link. You can click it if the Lord leads you. We run specifically off of donations and giving. Awesome. So we never promote it. We're like, God, if people share, if people sow, if God leads it on your heart, we will receive, and we're trying to break that off. So thank you again for saying that. That's so encouraging, and thank you for having us on. So
absolutely, bro. Keep that fire burning. Guys, 20 years old. Ladies, stop asking. He already said he has a girlfriend, but 20 years old. God is raising him up. God is using him in this generation. And hey, bro, I'm an old man, but I'm behind you. I'm cheering you on. If there's any support you need, any help you need, anything, bro, I'm here for you. So thanks for being on, and I'll hit you up after this because I'm going to send you a love offering. But thank you so much for being on tonight, bro.
Thank you. Love you so much. Thanks for having me on.
All right. God bless. Take care.
See ya.
What an awesome show, guys. What an awesome. I'm not even going to say young man. I know you guys want me to say what an awesome young man. We're not saying young man. What an awesome guy. You know, makes me feel old out here. I'm like senior.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.